The following podcast was made possible by the sponsorship of Teresa Leong Lee and by Catholic Digital Resources, where you can find downloadable faith formation resources and evangelization tools. Visit Catholic Digital Resources at CatholicDR.com to build your own faith and the faith of others. That's CatholicDR.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
The truth is constantly under attack by the spirits of darkness. They want to obscure the truth about Jesus. They want to obscure the truth about our need for a Savior. They want to obscure the necessity of living a holy life and how we get to heaven. Demons want to trick us into believing falsehoods, deceptions, so that they can pull us away from God. Just take a look around and notice how many, many people have been tricked into believing what is not true. Now, demons don't mind if we believe some of the truth. It's when we believe the whole truth and nothing but the truth that demons know they've been defeated. When we profess out loud that we believe the whole truth about the Christian faith, which is what we do when we get to the point in Mass where we proclaim the creed. When we profess out loud that we believe the whole truth about the Christian faith, demons hear us and we conquer them. Demons also, by the way, don't mind if we profess full belief with our lips, but in our hearts and the way we live out our lives, we are not fully believing what we say we believe in the creed. It's so easy for demons to confuse us and make us warp our ideas about the truth. Remember what happened in the Garden of Eden. In the 3rd chapter of Genesis, we read, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other creatures the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The truth is, that's not what God said. He told Adam and Eve that they could enjoy the fruits of every tree except one, the tree of knowledge about good and evil. But the serpent tricked Adam and Eve into believing something that was not true." Watch how that happened. The next verse says, "The woman answered the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of any tree in the garden except the tree in the middle of the garden.'" Okay, so she has stated the truth here. And she continues, "God has said, 'You must not eat of it or touch it or you will die.'" So she's professing with her lips the truth. But the serpent is able to trick her. She's vulnerable. Listen to what happens next. The serpent says, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." See what's happening here? The devil is tempting her to become like God without obeying God. This was the first heresy that afflicted humankind. But it's the ridiculous belief that we can be like God by disobeying God. I mean, how ridiculous is that? But yet, how often we ourselves and the people around us, the people in this world, are believing that ridiculous falsehood. I mean, how can we become like God by disobeying God? I mean, you know, think about it. Why was the woman, Eve, so vulnerable to getting caught up by the ridiculousness of this? The next verse says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom, she took the fruit and ate it." You see what happened here? Eve knew the truth, but was easily confused about it when the devil put his own spin on it. Because she was vulnerable to being tricked like this, because she was attracted to the lie. Any lie that is attractive makes us stupid. any lie that is attractive makes us accept the ridiculous idea that we can be like God by disobeying God. Take a look around us. How frequent is it that we ourselves, we get caught up in this too, but people today are thinking, I am my own God, which is the same thing as being like God. I am my own God. I can decide what's right and wrong. If it's pleasing to me, I'm going to say that it's okay, that it's good. In fact, it's so good that the people who think that it's wrong, that it's bad, they're in the wrong, they're bad, and I need to fight them on this. For example, God created two genders, male and female. The male has the Y chromosome. The female does not. And yet, people believe the ridiculous lie that by saying God didn't know what he was doing when he created me as a woman, and whether they believe in God or not, that's basically what they're saying. God created me wrongly. I'm supposed to be a woman even though I have the Y chromosome. I mean, the Y chromosome, even if a person goes through sex change operations, the Y chromosome never gets changed, never gets out of the body. See the ridiculousness? When we are attracted to a lie, we get stupid. We don't think things through clearly. And that makes it very easy. This devil knows that's where we're vulnerable. So the devil comes after us. There's no other force. There's no other reason for it. The devil comes after us to make us follow what seems pleasing in order to get us to disobey God, tricking us into thinking that now we are like God. We're all vulnerable to be tricked by the evil one. And this is another reason why it's necessary to go to Mass at least every Sunday, and even more often if possible. After we privately confess to God during the penitential rite that we have disobeyed him, we've broken ourselves against the truth, in other words. And then, after glorifying God for his forgiveness, during the Mass, it's now time to publicly, out loud, confess our belief in the truth. When we proclaim it out loud, the devil hears us and knows he has been defeated, if he knows that we believe what we are proclaiming with our lips. Our belief in the truth is summarized by the Creed. There are two creeds of Christianity, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. The Apostles' Creed is our oldest statement of faith, our oldest statement of the basic truths. Each of the statements in the Apostles' Creed were the basic truths that were taught about the faith during the time of the Apostles. That's why we call it the Apostles' Creed. The earliest known written version of it is dated 215 AD. It's the short creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This is all demon-conquering truths that we profess, because when we profess the truth, the lies fade away. The lies are conquered. The lies are broken. The lies are crushed. The Nicene Creed comes to us from the year 325 AD. All the bishops of Christianity came together in the town of Nicaea, which is why we call this the Nicene Creed, to come up with a statement of faith that was more thorough than the Apostles' Creed in order to clear up false teachings, heresies that were prevalent in the world at that time. Heresies that, by the way, in one form or another, are still with us. The bishops worked on this, fine-tuning it, and ratifying the new version in the year 381 AD in Constantinople. Let's look at the heresies that the Nicene Creed overcomes as we go into what we are professing in that Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed, by the way, is what we normally profess during Mass because it is the fullest statement of all the basic truths of our faith. It starts out, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty." And what this was fighting, the heresy that this fights, is polytheism, the belief in many gods. And even in today's world, there are people who believe in multiple gods. A lot of Eastern religions, for example. But how many of us in our modern world today, even in Christian cultures, have gods of money and gods of career and gods of wanting to do my own agenda and gods of sex and gender confusion and abortion and all these other forces that pull us away from God, the true God? So we say at the very beginning, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. In other words, greater than anything else, greater than every other being. And then we continue, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. This, at the time the Nicene Creed was written, was conquering the heresy that the world always existed, or the material for the world always existed. Today, we have the belief out there in the world that evolution means that God didn't create anything. So we say, even those of us, I mean, yes, evolution happened. It's a scientific fact. But God is still the maker of heaven and earth, and, as we say in the next part of this sentence, of all things visible and invisible. There is some heresy back at that time when this was written and down through the centuries that Satan created things that were visible. This even crept into Christianity with the idea that we are bad. Even after we've been baptized and freed from the original sin, we are bad, and therefore, you know, we're going to hell unless we follow Jesus. Well, yes, we're going to go to hell unless we follow Jesus, but we were not made bad. Remember, God created everything, all things visible and invisible, and when he created it, he said, and this is good. We can choose to stop being good, which is what the demons did. They were holy angels who chose to become unholy. Then we say, I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. This counters the false idea that all good men are sons of God. Jesus wasn't different than any of us. He may have been a greater prophet than most of us, a greater teacher, a greater miracle worker, but he's just another man like us. Instead, we say, I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. That last part defeats the heresy that Jesus did not pre-exist before his conception in Mary's womb. Jesus did exist from the beginning of time. Jesus is God. Jesus was born into human form through his conception in Mary's womb. But Jesus already existed. And that's why we say, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. That last part counters the heresy that Jesus was not divine. He did not have the same nature as the Father. And we say, he is consubstantial with the Father. Consubstantial with the same substance as the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. This counters the heresy that Jesus came to save not only humans but also demons. Nope, he cannot save demons because they don't want to be saved. So Jesus came for us and for our salvation. And we continue with the creed saying, he came down from heaven by the Holy Spirit. This counters the heresy that Jesus was a mere mortal. He came down from heaven. That's the truth. Jesus was conceived by sexual relations. Nope, that's another heresy. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was incarnate of the Virgin Mary. This counters the heresy that since he came from heaven, his flesh nature was an illusion. Nope, it wasn't an illusion. He was incarnate of the Virgin Mary. He became flesh through the Virgin Mary. And we go on. After describing who Jesus really is, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. This counters the heresy that the Holy Spirit is a creation of God, a servant of the Father and the Son. He came, in other words, after the Father and the Son getting together to say, we need a Holy Spirit to serve us and go down to earth and fill people so that they can follow us, whatever. No, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord. He is God, the giver of life. He has been God from before the beginning. No beginning. There is no beginning in God. There's no beginning in the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, meaning that the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit to us, send this part of the Holy Trinity to us, send this person with a capital P, send this nature of God to us so that we can become holy ourselves, so that we can live out in obedience to God what the Father tells us to do, and Jesus says, follow me to do. We can resist the lies of the world because the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And that's what we are taking ownership of when we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. This last part counters the heresy that the Old Testament prophets did not speak words from God. They, you know, the Old Testament was written by humans who made it up, you know, wrote it out of their own ideas. Nope, the Holy Spirit has spoken through the prophets. And then finally, we say, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. This counters the lie that says salvation can be obtained without being part of the body of Christ. Does this sound familiar for us today? All roads don't go to heaven. Jesus said, the way is narrow, and many are those who don't go the narrow way to get to heaven. We profess, we acknowledge this truth. Do we really believe it, or is it just words coming out of our mouth? I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. It is only through the apostolic church that we can get to heaven, because Jesus is in the apostolic church. Jesus is given to us in the Eucharist. Jesus is given to us in the word that is preached in church. Jesus is given to us by establishing this church when he told Peter that he gives him the keys to the kingdom and go and feed my sheep. Apostolic church means the church of the apostles. It also means going out and evangelizing. We are all apostles because we have been commissioned to go and bring others into the church. We say, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. That means we believe that even our Protestant brothers and sisters who follow Jesus, who believe that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, that they are part of the church. St. Paul tells us this very clearly in Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. He says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We need to understand the truth of this, because in the creed we are professing this same thing. Yes, we have areas where we are not in unity, but in Christ we are one. We are one with all Christians who believe that Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is our Redeemer, Jesus died on the cross to take our sins, and Jesus was resurrected to lead us to heaven. When we say, I believe in one holy Catholic, we're saying, that's a lowercase c, we are saying not the Roman Catholic Church under the Pope, we're saying the universal church, the full church that Jesus started, that the apostles were the first leaders of. We're also professing with this statement that if we separate ourselves from this church, we are falling into wrong beliefs. If we separate ourselves from this church by not going to Mass, by not being part of the parish community, by not recognizing our unity with other Christians, including Protestant Christians, if we don't fully belong to that church, if we don't fully participate in that church, we are not living the holy life. Because it is through the church, the body of Christ on earth, it is through the church and all of the teachings, the scriptures, the presence of Jesus, it is the church that connects us to Jesus in a way that we can't do sitting by ourselves on a bench in the woods saying God is here in nature, or in our prayer corners at home, or sitting in front of the television watching a service on TV. If that's the best you can do, watching it on TV, fine. But we are supposed to be gathering together, as I said in the first podcast episode in this series on the Mass, we need to be with that church, the body, the people. And what do we mean when we say that we believe in one holy church? What is holiness? We are saying that we are different from the rest of the world. We are following Jesus and imitating him and having the Holy Spirit inspire us into how to be holy. And by the way, we need to have a personal relationship with not just with Jesus, but with the Holy Spirit in order to have that inspiration and have that divine help in being holy. But to be holy means to be different from the rest of the world. If people who are not Christians or who are not actively fully believing all the truths of the creed, if people look at us and don't see us as different than they are, if they don't see us as different than the world, we are not living the holy life. Yes, we are going to get in trouble. Yes, we're going to get persecuted if we truly live the holy life. If we don't want to be different, if we don't want to be singled out, if we don't want to be persecuted, if we don't want to be different than the world, then we better not recite the creed. We better keep our mouths shut at this point during the Mass. Satan loves it when we accept some of the truth, but not all of it, because he will lead us astray in the areas that we don't fully believe. Join me in praying now to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Come, Holy Spirit, renew us. Come, Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. Teach us the truth. Come, Holy Spirit, inspire us. Come, Holy Spirit, we want to have a close, personal, active relationship with you. Come, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me. Say this prayer for yourself, my friends. Come, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me. Help me to recognize where I am breaking myself against the truth. Help me to recognize where I am not fully believing the truth because my behavior is indicating it, that. Our behaviors, my friends, by the way, are how we find out what we really believe. So in prayer we say, come Holy Spirit, help me to identify the ways that my behaviors are indicating that I am not fully believing what you have taught, what you, Lord, have shown is the way to live my life, the way to be holy. Come, Holy Spirit, help me to fully embrace all the truths that I profess in the Creed. And we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This podcast was made possible by supporters of Good News Ministries who hope to strengthen and build your faith. If this episode speaks to your heart, then I ask you to pass it along to your family and friends. Share it on Facebook and Twitter. Forward it by text and email. And let us know what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. How has this episode made a difference? You can contact me through the Good News Ministries website at gnm.org or by texting me if you are one of our subscribers on WhatsApp. May I ask a favor of you? Please cover this life-changing podcast ministry in your daily prayers. And if you can, help me continue making these podcasts by becoming a sponsor. Any donation is helpful, but we are especially seeking sponsors for upcoming episodes.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.